Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now back in making his fifth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Mississippi State defensive line coach Brian Baker. Let me remind you about Brian's background. He is from Baltimore, Maryland, played his college ball at the University of Maryland. He was an outside linebacker, and he helped the Terrapins win the ACC conference title back in 1983. The following year, he became a graduate assistant there at Maryland after getting his degree in marketing. He's been coaching for over 30 years now, which is absolutely amazing to me that that's the case. He's coached at Maryland, Army, Georgia Tech, in the NFL with the Chargers, Lions, Vikings, Rams, Panthers, Cowboys, Browns, and Redskins, and now at Mississippi State. And one of the other amazing things about Brian is when you see pictures of him, he looks like he just walked out of class at the University of Maryland. He's in his 50s, and he looks like he's in his 30s. Which is amazing, and we're honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Brian, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Fellas, how you doing? It's been a pleasure. How you guys this evening?
Oh, great. We're fantastic. Brian, you got to tell us, where is that fountain of youth that you have? Because it's hard to imagine. Tonight, Brian, this is our 343rd episode of TNT, and you joined us all the way back for the first time on episode 44, which is July of 2012. So we've known you for about 6 years now, and you continue not to age. How is that possible?
Well, but first and foremost, by the grace of God, right? So I guess, you know, I love what I do every day. You know, I've been blessed with a tremendous family. You know, I'm in a great profession. And like I said, when I get up every morning, I'm excited and I don't know, I guess that's it. They say I'm in a really stressful position, occupation, from what I understand, but I don't feel stressed. It's an opportunity to compete every day and make guys better and make yourself better. So maybe those are the things that keep me young.
So Brian, your Bulldogs finished 9-4 overall last season, 4-4 in a brutal SEC West division. You guys ended the year ranked 19th or 20th, depending on which poll you look at. Looking ahead to next season, you guys have K-State, of course, LSU, Alabama, Ole Miss, Auburn at home, some of those other games on the road. So, you know, not to mention, of course, you know, the rest of the SEC schedule. But the scheduling gods didn't do you guys any favors by putting you so many tough games on the road. Talk about your thoughts about this upcoming season.
Well, we're excited about the season. You know, we've got a really experienced team coming back. You know, I'm fortunate in that, you know, we played really well on defense last year and we're not losing many defensive guys and I'm not losing any defensive linemen at all. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to have two young men, make first team all SEC defensive line and they both, came back. One came back because he had to. He was a sophomore making first team all SEC. And then the other one chose to. He could have gotten drafted, but he wanted to come back and, contribute to what he felt like and what we feel like is going to be a special season. And by the way, it should help his draft status too, his draft stock. And, both those young men are preseason All-Americans. So, you know, we feel like it was a pretty good opportunity for us to be very, very competitive and, to make a statement.
And Brian, as you mentioned, you guys finished 10th in the nation in total defense last season. And I'm assuming one of the players you were just alluding to is Montez Sweat. You know, finishing 11th, tied for 11th in the nation last year with 10.5 sacks, the most by a Bulldog since 2005. Kudos to him and kudos to you. He decided to pass up, you know, the NFL draft and come back for his senior season. Talk about what you're seeing from him.
Well, it's really exciting to see what we call him Tez for short. It's really exciting to see what Tez is doing. You know, his work ethic is incredible. I was about to say unmatched, but we've got some guys that work pretty hard too, so they're right up there with them. It's a very competitive room. He has improved, which is what I'm excited about. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to his family about staying and, you know, made some commitments to him from a standpoint of being able to use my NFL experience to prepare him for what he's about to embrace after the season's over, you know, and they trusted me. So to see him come out and work and actually get better this spring, was exciting to me from a personal standpoint, but it was also exciting from what he can do for our defense and for our team.
Bob, questions for Brian?
It's great to speak with you again, Brian. I have to ask you about Coach Joe Moorhead. Joe became a friend of mine, Brian, probably 6, 7, 8 years ago when he was at Fordham. He really put that school back on the map football-wise from their glory days. And I guess we could call him an offensive genius, what he did at Penn State and everything. But becoming head coach at a much bigger university, Brian, tell us about what the environment's like there. Has it jived well? And how is he relating to the incumbent players?
Well, based on the results, I would say he's relating to him very, very well. He's a very energetic guy, very positive, you know, almost to the point of, you know, if you didn't know him as a man, you'd say he was a little cocky. You know, he just attacks the day, absolutely attacks the day, every day. You know, he challenges the guys. They seem to respond. Right now, we're having the first 2 semesters he's been with us, we've had the, you know, the better job academically than we've done in several years as far as guys, you know, GPAs and that kind of thing. So he's challenged them that way. They've responded. I thought we had a great spring. They responded that way. And, you know, so far, you know, obviously the proof is in the pudding once we get the, once the season gets started. But at this point, I would say they're buying in well. Joe is, you know, on fire in terms of recruiting. You know, we're recruiting really well right now. And so that was the other question, whether or not he's going to be able to recruit in the South, being a northern guy. You know, I mean, he's a special dude. I'm really fortunate that I had the opportunity to stay with him.
Well, please give him our regards, Brian. We wish you guys luck. And we also, at the beginning of the show, we had mentioned that you had coached many pro bowlers, Brian, and one of them that came to mind was a guy like Julius Peppers, because when I look at Peppers, I think of him as one of the better all-around athletes that ever stepped on a football field. People forget how he played basketball at such a high level and was so athletic. Does it surprise you that he was still playing last year at the age of 37, Brian?
No, it really doesn't. You know, when I first saw him, it was amazing to me that when he, you know, that he was 290 pounds. I mean, you know, I heard Rocky, who I love, by the way, I was a Steelers fan when he was playing. When I heard Rocky talk about LC and, you know, and the Steel Curtain, that great defense. You know, I mean, LC was probably 245, you know, because they weren't real big back then, you know, but really fast and explosive and long. Well, Julius is 290. And he, you know, to hear Rocky talk about White and LC, you know, Julius is doing that stuff at 290 pounds. But, you know, when he wants to, like when he went to Green Bay to play linebacker and get down to 270, you know, the word athletic freak is used a lot, and I think is used too frequently because it's not that many of them. Well, he actually is. You know, he's a genetic freak, but he works his tail off. He's one of the hardest working guys we had in practice. So in a very long-winded way, my answer is absolutely not. Peppa be able to play for as long as he wants.
Brian, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of more players you have there at Mississippi State and someone else I imagine you were alluding to a few moments ago, and that's nose tackle Jeffrey Simmons, another all-SEC player last season. My Steelers need a nose tackle, so I'm hoping this guy with your tutelage is going to come on and find his way to Pittsburgh one day, but talk about him.
Well, Jeffrey's one of the reasons that when I was about to describe Montez as the hardest working guy, I hesitated because, you know, Jeffrey and Gary Green and some other guys that we have at that front, you know, it's a hard-working group. They push each other. They hold each other accountable. You know, Jeffrey is really, really a talent. Actually, Coach, one of his family members, his uncle, Jason Hatcher, coached at Dallas and then had the opportunity to coach him at Washington. I was coaching outside back because he's a defensive lineman. So, you know, we got the pass rush. I got a chance to coach Hatch again. But Jeffrey is a different player than Jason, and Jason was a very good player. Jeffrey's so powerful. You know, when guys ask me to talk about him and comparing him to guys that I've had in the league, Jeffrey, as a sophomore in college and a true sophomore, he didn't get redshirted, probably would have played for coached 15 defensive lines in the league. I would say he would have played and been a major contributor probably in 12 or 13 of them, you know, in terms of the way he played the game and his power, his relentlessness. He's really a smart guy. He's over a 3.0 student. You know, even now he's cranking classes this summer because he's, you know, he's building himself up just in case he makes the decision to leave early. You know, and like I told him, if he has a season, that I want, that I hope he has, then I'm going to throw him out of there because he should be a first round pick. So, you know, I would want that for him. But anyway, his work is unbelievable. His ability to affect the line of scrimmage, I think is, you know, I mean, if there's somebody in the country better than him inside, I'd like to see him.
Brian, you've had to defend on the other side of the line of scrimmage, at least defend against in practice, running back Arius Williams. He rushed for over 1,100 mm-hmm. yards last season, which was good for fifth in the conference, just behind Darius Juice and Nick Chubb. What's it like for your guys trying to defend against him in practice?
Well, you know, Arius is the byproduct of a great offensive line. I think the interior part of our line, our two guards, and I think our center, you know, who I would imagine, you know, I don't get into this NFL scouting, obviously, but I would imagine that he would be a guy who would be coveted, both he and our guards. So the war starts inside with us, you know, like our, at the end of summer camp last year, I was a little worried about how we would fare as a defensive line. We were young, you know, a bunch of first time starters, because we were going against our offensive line and one of our kids got drafted this year in the fourth round. Little did I know that that offensive line was the toughest offensive line we were going to face all year. So, the preparation that we get in practice is awesome. Arius is a downhill. I call him our best defender because he's a chain mover. And, that's really what he is. He'll get the tough yards. You know, when he gets a crease, he can hit it. He can make that cut inside of a cut, as Denny Green used to describe with backs with vision. He can make that play and make it pretty consistently. Protects the ball. He's not a turnover guy. I'm a big fan of Arius.
And Brian, in the 2 years that you've been down there at Mississippi State, you've sort of been on both sides. One of the great rivalries, right, in the South is Mississippi, mm-hmm. you know, against Mississippi State. So the Ole Miss Mississippi State game and the Egg Bowl is a right. huge game here in the South. You've been on both sides. You've been on the winning side. You've been on the losing side. Talk about how the difference in that and what it's like around town and around campus as the winner and as the team that came up short.
Well, I can sum it up both ways. Both ends of the spectrum, like you said, I've been on both sides of that, and they both were really relative upsets. The year we beat them at Ole Miss, they were favored. You know, they were a good football team, and we were playing them at their place, and we really, you know, beat the brakes off of them and took the Egg Bowl back to Starkville where it belongs. And then this year, I think a large part because we, you know, they not got our quarterback out there. He broke his ankle in the first quarter. But that is what it is, you know, a couple of dirty shots, but that's all right. We'll take care of all that, later on this year, you know, that'll be fun. But anyway, they upset us because we were pretty good and they were obviously struggling, you know, and they beat us here in Starkville. But to tell you the impact of the game, and I always say this, but I really believe, Dan Mullen got a new contract. Okay, after going 6-7, but because we beat Ole Miss, okay, all right, Dan Mullen got a brand new contract last year before he, you know, before he left the year after to go to Florida after winning that game. After Ole Miss beating us this year, their interim head coach, okay, who was their offensive line coach, but their interim head coach got hired full time after beating us this year. So when you talk about the impact of that game, I mean, coaches get hired and fired based on that game. I mean, it is a fierce rivalry. People in this town, in this state, I'm sure up there in that other place where they are, you know, it is as heated as you can imagine. I mean, I was a part of the Georgia Tech Georgia rivalry for 9 years. No comparison. No disrespect to that rivalry, but no comparison. This one is ugly. It is, you know, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not, but it is. It's ugly. Both teams take it personally. It is absolutely. It's the easiest week of practice to prepare for. You know, I mean, we got a hardworking group of guys anyway, but that week, holy cow. I mean, you've got to say whoa instead of go. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, wait a second. Now the game is Saturday. Don't start or in this case, Thursday. You know, don't start beating up each other. I mean, it is. Our guys will be ready for that one. You know, so I'm looking forward to that one already.
Bob, one more for Brian before we let him go.
Yeah, Brian, I have to ask you about that 1986 year you spent at Army. That was the last time you had coached on the offensive side. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, had to be an incredible experience, if not a life-changing experience, as far as your coaching. You were a young guy at the time. Tell us about that, Brian.
Well, it was hit me with that one time again. I'm sorry. I had to step away just for a quick second.
That 86 year at Army, at the military academy, just the experience and how it affected your coaching the rest of your career.
Well, you know what? It was wasted on me. You know, I was young and dumb. I speak of my time at Army, I speak of it far more, you know, with fondness retrospectively than I did, you know, going through it. I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't appreciate it until going back several years later when Coach Bobby Ross was there. I went back to visit him, and he was the head coach at West Point. And it just, all the memories came flowing back, the things that I didn't appreciate then. The thing I did appreciate, though, was coaching a special group of leaders, just a special group of young men. I mean, when I say our country is in fine hands, I don't say that in any way other than sincerity. Those young dudes that they're training there to be leaders in the fight for us, I mean, what a tremendous group of guys. I used that last, phrase a little while ago, woe instead of go. I mean, it was the same way there every day, no matter who we played. We were running the wishbone and we were chop blocking and cutting and doing all that stuff. And man, we had stay up, hey, don't go out, and you get the young kids, they don't have to, there's no ranks or anything. It's just a team going out there practicing hard and battling hard, the fighting for the core. And I mean, it was a great experience. I wish I was, I was coming from the University of Maryland and, chasing women, and there wasn't any women up there, so I was pissed off half the time. So,
understood.
I didn't have the true appreciation for it. Like I said, I appreciated it a lot more retrospectively than I did, but it really was a great experience. And the offensive part of it, it helped me because it helped me to understand blocking schemes. It helped me to understand really how offensive coaches looked at it. I wish I was in a little bit more of a traditional offense that would have taught me even more. It was a wishbone back then, but I did learn at least about blocking schemes and that. And it kind of gave me a little bit of an insight on how to defend the option, which we have to do each and every day now in the modern style of college football.
Brian, before we let you go, remind our listeners, how can they stay up to date with what you're doing, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Well, it's a great question. If you had asked me that 6 years ago when I first started visiting with you guys, the answer would have been they can't. All right, because I had my flip phone and that was it, and I wasn't giving it up. But as a college coach, you kind of live and die. You live and die by Twitter, man. So MSU coach Baker, it'd be a good way to follow me. And again, I follow you guys. And let me say this real quick, man. Hey, let me just tell you guys how much I appreciate the fact that you guys bring on those old. It seems like every time I get on there, I'm following one of the dudes that I grew up admiring, or I just love listening to those stories, Rocky and a lot of the old, like you said, LC and those guys that you guys have on, man. You're keeping old football alive, and I really appreciate it. Those are the guys that are the reason that I've been coaching now and that I'm still involved in football. I grew up loving those guys. I grew up working at Old Memorial Stadium when the Baltimore Colts were there, and some of these guys that you've had on, like Rocky and some of these stories I hear are guys that I grew up, Mike Curtis and these guys. I grew up watching these guys and selling Coca-Cola, when I was young, and I finally got old enough right before I went to college to sell beer. That's when I was making real money up and down those stands, but getting a chance to watch baseball and football there at Old Memorial Stadium and seeing a lot, hearing, what these guys are doing now, it's really exciting. Hopefully the fans really appreciate that as much as I do. And that's certainly why I enjoy your show so much.
Well, Brian, we can't thank you enough for saying that. We appreciate that very much, and we appreciate your time and the number of times you come back and being a part of the show. We hope you'll do it again real soon. You're fantastic.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, and keep it going, man. It, like I said, it's awesome.
Good luck.
Thank you, Brian. All the best to you and your family. Good luck next season at Mississippi State. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Take care, Coach.
Thank you. Be my pleasure. All right, fellas. Good night.
See you, Brian. That's Coach Brian Baker, the D-line coach at Mississippi State. That's fantastic stuff, Bob. What a great guy. What a great coach.
Oh, I tell you, what a staff. Look, Chris, trust me, Moorhead is an offensive genius that programs in good hands, and I think Terrell Buckley is also a coach on that staff, and they're going to make some noise these next few years, guaranteed. So it's very exciting, and you can hear it in his voice.
Yeah, and the guys that he's developing on that D-line, and I'm sure the influence he's having also on the linebackers and the rest of the players on that team is, I'm sure, outstanding. And I think Mississippi State, you're going to hear about them, right? Again, a team that finished 9-4 last season overall, 19th or 20th, depending on which poll you look at. But, you know, it's not just Alabama and Auburn and LSU and that SEC West. I think Mississippi State's going to be a team to be reckoned with. Look forward to following them and getting Brian back on the show, like I say, again, real
soon. It'll be fun.